Life is definitely an adventure filled with highs and lows. The highs when we celebrate, when we have anniversaries, birthdays, accomplishments, promotions. The lows when we experience a great deal of sadness, when we lose our job or our relationship or have various conflicts or experience even the death of someone we love. In all these things, we know that as we have our faith and have grace, that we are able to go through it all. And all these experiences, both the highs and the lows, are meant to be learning experiences, aside from other things as well. But they will help us in the long run to grow and adapt and be able to take more confidence towards the things that come our way as the years progress. At least that's the hope, that's the desire. Jesus Christ in the gospel today speaks a word that is meant to stir others to think. He says about how all these things will happen and people will die of fright because of what is occurring. Something in which certainly ought to stir within us questions about what is happening, or what is Jesus asking, or what is Jesus telling us to do. You know, with all these things, you know, our Lord is setting up how it is that we can become single-minded towards the ultimate goal. You know, sometimes we need a shock in our lives. You know, we need to get those paddles and, you know, put up the amps and put it upon us and poof, give us new life, right? Because sometimes, as we go through life, we can be quite dead. You know, especially when we find ourselves going towards the lows, and we can't seem to find ourselves getting out of that. This is why some individuals will find themselves in the position in which Jesus is calling out. You know, stop carousing, stop being drunk. He's saying these things because there are individuals who will look toward escapism and try to find a way to bury their heads into something and hope that the problems that they have or the problems of the world would just go away with the passage of time. And it's not only those things in which Jesus mentioned. You know, this can be by extension anything that has an addictive nature to it. You know, even that of video games. And all these things, you know, as people are trying to find a way to escape from the pain and the problems and the lows of life, Jesus emphasizes that this is not the solution. This is not the way in which we go about solving our problems. Certainly derails us from the goal in which we are meant to accomplish. Not only that, but you and I are constantly surrounded by many distractions. With the innovations, wonderful innovations that we have, smart watches, our cell phones, the different ways in which we communicate, you know, all these things can lead to a productive life, but sometimes they lead to mindless, minor interactions, which then drain the body, drain our joy, as we find ourselves mindlessly going through them. You know, especially when it comes with anything with the media platforms, those social media, you know, all those things. You know, if you spend enough time with it, right, sometimes you may get, you think, well, I'll just watch this one video, and you watch, you know, a couple hours, and then you wonder, you know, what's my life? You know, what am I doing? And there's a feeling of, there's a lack of purpose. You know, we know that it's leading us farther away from our goal, and in a sense, it's affecting our sense of worth. You know, why do I find myself subjecting myself to these things that aren't life-giving, that aren't good? You know, and they have that addictive nature, and there are ways by which, you know, can help us escape from reality, the problems of life. But we know that if it's something that we seek to do every day, many times during the day, we know that is certainly not helpful. Obviously, there comes to a point where, yes, there has to be some period of rest that we have. But I'm talking about those that find themselves, you know, they just can't wait to go towards these devices or, you know, whatever the escape is, and think that that is what's going to bring them joy. Jesus offers this warning to the people and to us because whether or not we want to acknowledge it or not, the world is still going. The time is still ticking. And the timeline in which we are on this world is whittling away. So the Lord is saying, well, don't waste your time on that. And sometimes when we hear that, you know, perhaps what might come to mind are those individuals on the fringes who will simply look from the outside and see what we're doing and say, well, I got the solution for that. We just stop it. Just stop what you're doing and do something different. And some, perhaps few, might respond well, and actually that's what they need. You know, they just need someone to wham, you know, whack them upside the head and say, what you're doing is wrong, turn around. Others, however, because of the amount of years that has been invested in these things, you know, they get so entrenched in them, so much so that they trade their identity for that, for these things. Either these things or the cause of going to those things, anxiety, fear, and just letting everything else kind of dictate to them what they ought to do or how it is that they ought to think. You know, and so when Jesus says these things, you know, some may say, wow, is he saying that for a shock factor? Is he, you know, is that actually happening? I think it's both. You know, I think sometimes we need that, like I mentioned previously, you know, to get that shock to help jumpstart our life to think, you know, is this the right direction that I'm going? Is this where will lead me to where I need to be? And what helps is when we have our goal, when we have the objective, when we have the end in mind, do we know where we're going? I mean, ultimately. And what are we doing to demonstrate that to everyone else? That we are very clear in the trajectory by which my life is supposed to go. And hopefully, God willing, that's to heaven. Right? That's to the glory of heaven, you know, where there will be nothing that takes it away, right? No decay, no rust. And so this is something that, you know, the Lord is trying to impress upon those individuals as to us to say, well, yeah, sometimes we just need to have our life back in shape. And sometimes we might get stuck in that rut for a while. But consider this the wake-up call to say, no, that shouldn't be. And the great thing, you know, about this, you know, is that our Lord doesn't simply say, we just don't do it. You know, he says, well, I will give you help. You know, I will give you assistance. You know, because sometimes, right, you might think, you know, if that's something that is, you believe to be a part of your identity, this anxiety, this fear, then, you know, we need the Lord to help us get out of that and to realize that we are capable of more. You and I have been made in the image and likeness of God. Think about that for a moment. You know, sometimes when you think of that, we just think, okay, that's great. That's just kind of a nice saying, right? To know that I am not alone, God is with me, that's great. But you know, when we think about that, we are made in the image and likeness of God, I mean, there's a power behind that. There's a strength behind that. You know, in the reality that we live in that truth and that identity, you know, all those things that speak those whispers into our heart from the things in which we expose ourselves to, you know, when we are sure and confident in the identity of being a princess, of being a prince of God, our Heavenly Father, then we have the ability to push those things back and say, no, you will not have a hold over me. You will not be this snare, this trap that will keep me from living my fullest life. And that's the kind of confidence that has to be brimming within us when we recognize that we are made in His image and likeness. You know, it is something that can certainly free us from that. Because oftentimes, if we don't have a clear goal, if we don't have a clear idea of our identity, then we let the other things define us. Sometimes we get so mired in the news or in the media that we think, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be. This is how I'm supposed to respond. And we never don't really think about it. You know, we just kind of allow them to think for us. That's bad. Right? And if you allow the media to think for you, oh, gosh, you know, you need help. You know, it's the worst place. You know, you need scripture. You need the Lord. You need godly people in your life. And sometimes that's how we find ourselves in that rut. You know, we keep exposing ourselves to the same garbage. And then we wonder why our life is so messed up. You know, I have all this anxiety. You know, and sometimes we need to just take ourselves away from that. And really even take stock, you know, as to what it is that we are listening to. And what it is that we are accepting into our souls. You know, we're so easily fooled by that which glitters, right? By that which is entertaining, you know. And because it's entertaining, then, okay, I'm going to give my time over to this. And, you know, the Lord, you know, is found elsewhere, you know. We've got to look for Him. We've got to search for His voice. You know, I've got to be like the prophet Elijah, you know, who just went, you know, as he was fleeing for his life and wondering what to do. You know, it was in the still, small whisper that he heard the voice of God. And we're all busy. You know, we've all got responsibilities. You know, but there's got to be a point in each day where we take that time for the Lord. You know, we do what we can to secure that, to safeguard that. You know, sometimes in our schedules, you know, that's what we do, right? We schedule these things and we just say, well, I'm sorry, I can't schedule anything there because I already have this appointment, I have this meeting, you know, I have this obligation that I have to fulfill. And, you know, how much do we do that in terms of the time that we ought to give to our Lord? You know, so oftentimes that's jettisoned, or, well, the Lord understands, right? Ooh, you know, right? That's a thing that's most commonly said. The Lord understands, so I can push Him by the wayside. We're talking about God, right? I'm just going to clarify that. Okay, yeah. You know, and it's like, you got to really, like, think about the words that we say. It's like, okay, yeah, He understands. He understands that He's not priority. That's what He understands. You know, and we got to make sure that He is priority. And, you know, the beautiful thing is, you know, we might think, okay, gosh, you know, this piece is really, like, you know, hammering it upside the head on me. But, you know, in reality, it's like, no, it's for your benefit. It's for my benefit. It's for our good. You know, when we spend that time with the Lord and just give that to Him, you know, that's something that the Lord goes, like, it's about time. You know, the Lord looks at that and says, you know, it's great. You know, great, wonderful. Now I can give you that which I have desired to give you. Now I can speak into your heart. And even if we don't hear His voice, even if we don't, you know, have something drastically change in our life after that extra 10 minutes of prayer, you know, don't think that that was wasted. You know, don't think that was, you know, simply a time that could have been better spent. You know, time that we spend with our Lord, even if we don't experience or feel or see any kind of visible fruit, it's never time wasted. And that's something that we have to remember. Because oftentimes we are so enamored by how things are granted to us immediately that's where we think, okay, well, see, I'm being productive, so therefore that's where I ought to spend my time with. And the times in which we spend in silence with our Lord, that's also productive. That's also helpful. We might not see it, but He works behind the scenes. You know, and those are the ways in which He is able to break down strongholds in our life. You know, and that simplicity of prayer that we take with Him. You know, and that's exactly what you and I need to do. You know, and you know, I talk about the immediacy about how things are supposed to be accomplished or how we hope it to be accomplished, but you know, sometimes we got to remind ourselves that these things might take micro steps. And then we've got to learn to be okay with that, right? You know, sometimes we want the solution, the freedom from these things to be immediate. You know, and that might happen, that might occur, and sometimes that might not. And if it doesn't, then we've got to be okay to say, okay, well, you know, I will take these steps, micro steps, to make that happen. And, you know, just making an adjustment, you know, each day of about 1%, you know, that's going to add up. You know, you just make a change 1% here, the next day 1%, you be consistent with that. You know, yeah, it's not going to be immediate, but, you know, the battle against those things that foster escapism, you know, will begin to die out. You know, and then you include more things of the Lord that's there. You see, we only become stronger through difficulty and adversity. And sometimes we think, you know, when we have these issues, when we have that fear, when we have that anxiety, that I'm just lagging behind, right? So I'm gonna say we're just lagging behind. You know, everyone else is excelling, exceeding in life, right? You're looking at Instagram, you're looking at Snapchat, you're looking at Facebook, and everyone's having their best life, which, by the way, is all doctored, right? If you didn't know that, right? Yeah, I remember there was this one individual that was, you know, it looked like he was taking a selfie on the beach, and you know, he's got the sand and everything, living my best life. And then there's someone about like 20 feet away, and saying, "What is this guy doing?" Took a picture of him, and you know, he's just got a sand, and in the midst of him is grass, right? And then he's just—it's like, what is he doing? You know, right? It's just making it up, right? It's just looking as if he's having his best life, and in reality, is not. And you know, so you know, our best life really just comes from, you know, surrendering that to God and saying, "Okay, God, you know, what are you asking of me? What are you looking of me?" You know, and it's there that we can find ourselves to have the strength to really find freedom from those things that lead us away from the ultimate goal that we know in our hearts we should pursue. So it begins with a life of grace and prayer. You know, of course, we fortify ourselves with the sacraments and we pray. You know, pray every day. You know, pray to our Lord through the intercession of Our Lady, the Holy Spirit, guardian angel. We spend this time with Jesus, you know, that's indispensable. You know, one of the things that we can pray for, you know, that may help is having the Lord reprioritize our life. Make a list, jot down your responsibilities, jot down all the things that are there, that is troubling you, that is causing you anxiety, that is causing you fear. Ask the Lord to reorder them, and then ask for the grace to tackle them bit by bit, you know. You know, if we don't do that, what happens is, you know, we'll either get stuck in, well, I'm just going to do it my way, and then that's not necessarily the Lord's way, or we'll have other people choose that for us. You know, they'll get so squeaky, you know, they'll keep repeating the same thing over and over again. And even though you know it's not immediate, because you don't have that goal, you don't have that focus, and you just want the whining to stop, then you go towards that. And that's not always the solution. That's not always the case. That's not always where the Lord is going to lead you to. Why? Because then if we just follow where the whining is, that can be exhausting. And then who's setting the pace for your life? It should always be with the Lord. Sometimes it's practical things. You know, two practical things that come to mind: sleep. Now, I understand how individuals have their work schedules, and that might not always be the case, but insofar it is within your ability and power to have a good night's rest, then to make sure you do that. Make that a priority. You know, some overlook the importance of sleep. You know, you hear individuals, and they take so much pride in that, right? You know, and, you know, again, they'll use that and post it on social media and say, "Oh, I only got 3 hours last night, time to conquer the day." Do you want an award? What do you want? You know, it's like, okay, you know, yeah, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Okay, yeah, well, sure, you know, that happens, but you know, the studies show that, you know, your quality of life decreases, you know, in that kind of mentality. You know, I mean, obviously there'll be times when you have to pull an all-nighter and everything like that, but I'm talking about, you know, those moments where, you know, we have control, and, you know, it would be helpful for us to have that. You know, and I remember hearing that, and I thought, well, gee, isn't that something where, you know, people in the hospital, you know, if they're suffering from something really bad, what happens? Sometimes they might put them in a coma. Sometimes we think like, wow, why would they do that? Well, it is there, right, that the body is able to recuperate. The body is able to get better. So sometimes we need to go to sleep. I'm not going to say coma. Sometimes we need to go to sleep, right? You know? And just have that rest. And then the other thing too is just your diet, right? Sometimes it's our diet, you know? Our gut health affects our mood. And sometimes that ought to be looked at. You and I all around the world, the Catholics are celebrating Advent today. You know, we start this season. We're called to wait in hopeful anticipation of the Lord. You know, and as we do so, right, you and I know it's not about, you know, waiting for Jesus to come and be born. You know, it's just the fact that Jesus is, you know, we're inviting and making room for him in our hearts. You know, we're making sure that the path is clear, that the distractions are removed, that we're no longer living in this fear and anxiety, but able to face that which is before us. You know, the more that we find ourselves mired in that fear and anxiety, the more that those problems, those issues, you know, we actually feed it. We actually feed it. You know, when you entertain that fear and anxiety, and we say, "Well, I just don't want anything to do with that right now or ever," then all of a sudden it becomes this big and insurmountable beast. You know, and we're the ones who are making it worse, right? And so, you know, when we go and prepare our hearts for Jesus, it is there that we're asking him to, for the grace to make it appear as if it truly is. And then to tackle it. And then to take care of it. Right? It's about having that renewed confidence in the Lord. It's about knowing that you can, by the grace of God, get past this. Sometimes individuals are so mired in this. I mentioned before about having a loss of identity, not recognizing or believing or knowing what that means to be made in the image and likeness of God, that they have bought into this identity that they have to be individuals filled with anxiety and fear, that, you know, as they let that define them, then they don't want that to change because they're afraid of what that might mean. You know, and that's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy that we need to let go. Good friends will challenge us. Good friends will let us know that that's not how we should behave. You know, good friends won't foster that kind of anxiety or fear in our heart. You know, that's the enemy that does that. You know, good friends will help us know where it is that we need to go. You know, so maybe you need that in your life too. You know, if you don't have a friend, you know, that can actually advocate for you or challenge you, you know, that also helps too as well. Someone who's godly, you know. But, you know, as you follow through with that, you know, the Lord will set you free, right? And so that's how come when Jesus in the gospel says, you know, there's going to be roaring of the sea and waves, you know, all the nations will be in dismay, people will die of fright. But you know what? You, as people of faith, you will stand erect and raise your heads because your redemption is at hand. And that's the gift that God is giving us. You know, so if we find ourselves, you know, just, you know, as we go through life with the highs and lows, we're just stuck in the lows and we just don't know where to go, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus, you know. And really bear your heart to him and really speak to him. You know, be authentic. You know, especially what is causing you the fear, what is causing that anxiety. And then, Lord, reprioritize my life. Right? Give me the grace that I need. Help me to see past this and help me to believe that I am not the amalgamation or collection of opinions, thoughts of others, but that my identity lies in you.